Thank you for joining us for the Jackson Community Scripture Study as we walk our way through the book of Psalms, meeting at St. John the Evangelist in Jackson, Michigan. I'm your host, Todd Gale. Welcome as we walk our way through the book of Psalms.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 4. Psalm 6 is one of the 7 penitential psalms. So it's one of the psalms that we use sometimes in reconciliation and confession. It's dripping with contrition, real heart-ripping sorrow for our sins. It's a really interesting psalm. Before we read that, be aware of something. At the time that David has written the psalm, there's not a clear understanding of heaven, hell, and the afterlife, right? At this point in Jewish thought. So they talk about, there's one line in verse 6 where he says, who praises you while they're dead, basically? Nobody can praise you when they're dead, because they didn't really understand the fullness of an afterlife yet. They believed in Sheol or Hades or whatever you wanted to call it. The Greeks called it Hades. And they also believed, though, that there was the death of the righteous would be at Abraham's bosom. They would kind of be resting with Abraham. But it was a very vague, mysterious thought. There really wasn't a developed idea of a heaven the way that we think of today. So that doesn't come on the scene for a few hundred years later. So when you get to that particular line in verse 6, it sounds dreadfully depressing and despairing, because who can even praise the Lord when they're dead? There's nothing left, right? That's the thought at that point anyway. But we know otherwise, amen?
Amen.
And we'll look at this psalm as a psalm of a penitent, of somebody that's sorrowful for their sin. And the anger of the Lord here is the anger against sin and Satan. The anger against sin and Satan. So, and that, keeping that in mind, who would like to pray for us? Psalm 6. Do you see in there the contrition that is so sorrowful? There's weeping. There's soaking your couch with tears. There's so much contrition over sin and over terror. Yes?
Before we get too far into the meat of this, do you know what, for the leader with string instruments, upon the eighth means?
Nobody knows for sure. It could be upon the eighth note something musical is happening, or it could be a particular song called Upon the Eighth, and we just sing it to that tune.
Okay.
All of those musical notes in the Psalms are very mysterious. We've kind of lost them through the years. If you look at Jewish resources, they'll disagree with each other sometimes. So someone will say, oh, it's definitely this. And then you look at another resource and it says, no, it's definitely this. So it's kind of lost through the centuries.
Okay.
Does anyone... Yes, what does that say?
Instrument.
Oh, an eight-string instrument. Okay, so it's going to be played with a particular eight-string lyre or eight-string guitar, an electric guitar with eight strings.
sounds like a double-string ukulele.
Yeah, double-string ukulele. So it's kind of lost in the centuries. But notice in the beginning of that psalm is almost a terror and a fear, not only of the enemies, but it appears to be a terror and a fear of the sin that's committed. And that's why from about the 7th century onward, this has been designated a penitential psalm, because it appears that the terror, this utter terror in my soul, oh Lord, how long? It's asking the question, how long before you answer my prayer? How long will this continue? It appears to be that this is the suffering that goes on and on. Turn, Lord, save my life. Because we need a Savior outside of us. Amen? We talked about that just last week with Jesus. We need a Savior outside of us. We need someone to come and rescue us. And then the psalmist in verse 9 gets a sudden burst of strength, as if the Lord has heard him, right? The sudden strength. Away from me, all you who do evil. Right? including away from me my own evil desires, my own evil inclination, my own evil acts. Get away from me. I'm repenting. Right? I'm going to turn away from that. The Lord has heard my weeping. He's heard my prayers, my pleas. My foes will be terrified. My foes will be disgraced. Meaning the foes of the enemy, right? That the enemy will be turned away. So suddenly in the last verses, the psalmist gets this burst of energy, able to fight against this foe of sin. Amen? It's a very short psalm. The next one that I wanted to look at today, though, was Psalm 8. This is beautiful. On divine majesty and human dignity. This psalm is quoted a couple of times by St. Paul and in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, there's a great line. The psalm is bookended. The first verse and the last verse bookends the psalm. It basically says the same thing. And it is a great psalm about the beauty, not only of the Lord, but of the human person, the dignity of people. So somebody, it's only 10 verses long, it's very short, or actually 9 verses plus the intro. Could somebody read verse, or Psalm 8 rather? Psalm 8. Amen. See, that's why I say awesome all the time. It's in Psalm 8 a couple of times. Try to say a psalm like that without using the word awesome. It's very difficult. It's very hard. Verse 3 is sometimes translated, you have drawn a song of praise to silence the enemies. You have drawn a song of praise. So it's kind of an interesting, it's a very different translation at different times. In that. But look at what he says about human beings. Sons, in verse 5, sons of Adam, sons of man, that's really sons of Adam, sons of Adam in the Hebrew. And the daughters of Eve. You ever read the Narnia series by C.S. Lewis? That's what he calls the human children. Sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, that's where it comes from. It's very biblical. What the psalmist is saying is that, what are people that you're mindful of them? Why would you care about people? I mean, they're just sons of Adam. They're just daughters of Eve. Why would you care for them? Ah, because you've made them just a little less than divine. Just a little less than God themselves, right? How can the psalmist say that? How could human beings be just a little less than God? Because we're made in His image. What does that mean? We're representatives. We're icons. We're human representatives of the God. What does that mean? Why are we? How are we representing God?
Because we have His life in us.
Okay, because we have His life in us. What else?
Forgiveness of every.
So there are these virtues, I guess you could say, right? With God, it's more than virtues because it's what He is. But for us, it'd be a virtue of love and giving, pouring ourselves into the other. What else? Okay, there is a divine life that's breathed within us, that our souls are eternal. That's very much like God. And our hearts belong to Jesus. We are rational beings. We can think as the good Lord thinks. He gave us that ability. What else? Why are we just a little less than divine? Okay. We're less than divine because we haven't been redeemed yet, right? There will be a day we'll be so filled with the godliness, right, that we are actually the children of God, right? Oh, and we're halfway there. Well, maybe not halfway. We're on the way there. There's one other really big thing that no one's mentioned yet that makes us similar trait to God Himself. Okay, we have the ability to help create life, human life. He shared with us the ability to help create human life. That's beautiful. There's one more thing He has to give us that no one's mentioned yet. There's actually probably a few, but that's one I'm thinking of. We have free will. We have free will as the Lord has free will. He chooses what He chooses to do. And he gives us the free will as well. Right? And in one way, that makes us a little less than divine. And like Marilyn said, because of concupiscence and sin, sometimes it makes us way less than divine. Because we might choose the really wrong way. Amen? We might choose the really wrong way. But isn't that a beautiful line in there? That mere mortals, mere sons of man, sons of Adam, why do you care for them? You've made them just a little less than God, crowning them with glory and honor. All of those things that we talked about are the crownings, right? Given us rule over the world, put all things at our feet. Oh Lord, our Lord, how awesome is your name. Amen.
Thank you for walking the way through the book of Psalms from the Jackson Community Scripture Study.